Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I choose to listen to the voice of truth. I choose to listen to the voice of truth in spite of all the voices that are out there. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As you're preparing, my first scripture is going to come from Mark, the 11th chapter, starting with verses 14. And I'm going to go down to 22. I'll highlight those if you can pull them up for me. First of all, I want to thank you, Apostles Leonard and Dr. Janet Cook and River of Life, for allowing me to be a part of what's taking place this weekend, even the women's conference retreat and the back to church, rooted in faith. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to be here, because this causes me to have to grow and to be rooted as well and to carry this message myself. I see the essence of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I'm going to look at several scriptures here. And this is not a shout you down message. This is a cause us to be rooted and grounded so that we can stand when there are shakings, that we can stand because we're not shallow. Amen. So let's go to Mark, the 11th chapter. I tried to put some, you know what those things called when you mark your Bible? What are they called? Yeah, bookmarkers. Yeah, and I gave them out. Help me, Lord. Help me, help me. Amen. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, we decree right now, Lord, that Vernella would decrease, that you would increase. Lord, that what you have to say is so important in this season. Father, we thank you, O God, for all that you have done. And Lord, what you shall do even now. As we're looking at the verses here, I think I said 14, right? I want to share something here. I was looking at this scripture about where the fig tree withered. Amen? This morning, I had this thought as I read it. It's in verse 12, but I'll read it. It says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. So this morning, I'm putting Brother Jim on the spot this morning. I said, Jesus knew there wasn't any fruit there. Why was he looking for it? And Brother Jim explained to me this morning, okay, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He explained that there is something called, starts with an S. Thank you. I want somebody to say it. Suckers. I want to make sure we hear the right word. What that means is that something will pull the essence that should go into the tree that will cause it to produce. But those leaves were really just sucker leaves. They did not have any fruit. It wasn't their season. But so what it says to me is that those leaves were pretending that they had something to share, something to receive from. But if you don't understand that, and then he explained to me that sometimes when trees are growing, that sometimes you'll see branches going straight up. And those are called sucker branches that will pull the essence from the rest of the tree so that it doesn't fill out like it's supposed to. So I'm like, well, Jesus knew that. But anyway, so that was important for me. And so then because that was not going to produce, and we have to be careful, we want to be rooted so that we produce. We don't want to look all dressed up with leaves, but we're not producing. This back to church Sunday is all about being rooted. And this is for the church. And so we don't want to be all dressed up with all of our finery and all of our this and carrying our Bibles, but we don't have any fruit to show for it. Fruit that will remain. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I had that question. I was going to ask you yesterday about it, but I didn't get to. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus has a word for that tree. He says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. We have got to be so rooted so that when people come to us and they need to hear the word of God, in this season when people are dying, when people are lost, and there are so many voices out there, they've got to get the voice of truth. We've got to give them a word that will cause their lives to be transformed. And so then again, now then we're going to pick up that same passage of scripture. I'm going to go to verse 20 now, okay? So we saw where the tree withered. Now verse 20, it says, now in the morning, say morning, times pass, doors are opening and closing. Seasons have shifted. Now in the morning as they pass, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots because it had been rooted, but it was not producing. And Peter, he remembered and he spoke to Jesus, says, Rabbi, he says, the fig tree which you curse has withered away. And this is part where we're going to start from so we can be grounded, so we can be rooted. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. We're going to be rooted. We're going to have faith in God. He says, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, whatever we're facing, whatever is happening out there, we've got to be so rooted that we've got to have faith in God. We've got to be so rooted that our roots go down deeper than what we're experiencing up here on the surfaces in our lives right now. Because there's a big picture. There's an eternal picture. Amen. And so he goes on to say, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, whatever the mountains are that we're facing, say, be removed and cast into the sea, but you cannot doubt in your heart because you've got to have faith in God. It's not in what you say, it's because God supports what he says, amen, but believes that all those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, we've got to be rooted in prayer. We've got to be rooted in prayer. We've got to be rooted in the Word of God. We've got to be rooted in the one who is from Alpha to Omega, from Genesis to Revelation. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this is where we're going to start from. We've got to have faith in God, not in our abilities. The next scripture we're going to look at, Angela, woman of God, is John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. I've been reading this passage of scripture for some time. And again, this kind of helped my communication with Brother Jim this morning. And I'm going to read this because it's all about being rooted. I was sharing with them, thank you for the hospitality, both of you, for allowing me to be in your home. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and to be in your home. But they have a beautiful home. But they have cabinets in their kitchen, nice cabinets. I was checking it out. And it had greenery all at the top, so I knew they weren't real, but they look real. Well, that's my kind of in-house plants. I love beautiful flowers on the outside. I know I'm diverging a little bit, but I like pretty flowers on the outside because when I go outside with my car, I have a water hose, and I'll just sprinkle water on them, and I keep right on moving. Well, when you have inside plants, you've got to be committed 365 days a year. That's right. I'm just not that person. And I got tired of feeling guilty. But I have some beautiful plants that are artificial. They look good. I won't buy them if they look cheap. They don't look real. So now I'm back to this. Okay. See, my vines in my house, my plants in the house, they're not rooted. They just land up there looking good. You hear me? But when I do the flowers on the outside, and they bloom beautifully, but sometimes what I have to do, and I didn't know this word till I started doing this, there are things they call dead heads. I try to say these words right, dead heads. And so what that means to me is that when I see something on the flowers or that I have that look like they're not producing, somebody told me to do this, to tweak them off, take them off, and then they'll bloom and they'll replenish. Well, that works. And so I got beautiful plants. I'm trying to keep them through Thanksgiving. I know I may have to put some plastics out there. But back to the scripture. Let's go to John, 15th chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Because we've got to be rooted. Starts with have faith in God. That's number one. Verse 1, I'm going to skip through this here. I'm not going to read all these. I've got some things highlighted. Scripture begins with, I am the true vine. Jesus lets us know where our truth comes from. We're women of truth, men of truth. We sing about truth. We've got to know the word of God. There are so many, even when the enemy came at Jesus, after Jesus had been in the wilderness, he kind of misrepresented the scriptures just a little bit. So we, the people of God, we've got to be rooted in the word of God so that we can bring order when the enemy changes just a version, just a little bit, so that the word of God does not have its full effect. Back to this scripture. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser, relationship. Every branch, I'm a branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. We saw what he did to the fig tree. He did it to the fig tree. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, and he says that he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more, no matter which way it goes. It depends on what you're going to produce. But see, it's all about the root system. It's all about what's the connection. And then he goes on to say, he says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that you can it can be more, that it bears more. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he's not going to let you be a sucker branch. He's not going to allow you just to take from that you're not producing. Because it amazes me. I'm like, well, how can you be a branch in Jesus and not produce? Well, I needed that understanding this morning. Think about it. There are those who come to church who are not committed. They hear the word, but there's no root to them. Or either the fowl come and pick up the seeds. But here it says here, if you go down to verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you except you abide in me. We've got to be so rooted in the word of God. We've got to be so rooted in what Jesus has said. We've got to be so rooted, just like Jesus remained the whole time he was on earth. He would often tell his disciples, he says, I do nothing except I hear the Father. He says, I do nothing except I see the Father. He says, I do nothing except I get my orders from the Father. And so one of the things, again, a little side note. So my question is, so when Jesus healed the man that had been ill at the gate for 38 years, I believe, according to the word, he saw the healing taking place by the Father. The Father said, heal, and this is his door is open today. Been there 38 years or whatever. But that day, the door was open. Hallelujah. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If Jesus stayed connected, we've got to stay connected. Hallelujah. He says in verse 7, coming down to 7, just highlighting scriptures, if you abide in me, we don't want to live on the street called if. That is not the street for us to live on. We don't want to live on If Avenue. If lane. We want to live on the lane that says, I know what the word of God is. I have already committed. Not an if. It's not up for negotiations. All right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will and you can ask what you desire, because what you desire is going to align with me. Hallelujah. It shall be done for this. By this. It's all about this. My Father is glorified that you will bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We've got to be rooted. We've got to be so, we've got to have so much evidence against us that the world will say we're guilty as charged. There's got to be so much evidence that we belong to Jesus, that they can hear it in us, they can see it, as they can hear the way we talk, they can see the way we interact. They know that we know that who to whom we belong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus had disciples that they said to him, these men have been with Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. They had been there. They said, these men have been with Jesus. When Peter tried to deny Jesus, it was still on him. There was so much evidence. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms, the 92nd chapter. Psalms 92. I've got some scriptures. It's not going to take long because it's the Word of God. Chapter 92. I want you to go to verse 13 through 15. That's what I've got highlighted. You got to be rooted. This is a season in the world and even in the body of Christ. There are those who says it's not necessary to show up to come to church. What Sunday is this? Back to church Sunday? There are those who are saying that they can do just what they need to on Zoom and on the internet and etc. But you know what? I can almost be willing to, I can't bet because that's not right. I'm not going to put anything up, so I'm not going to get anything. But I know there are people who are sick today that love Jesus, wish they could have the opportunity to come. They wish they could come to church. They wish they didn't have to be out there laying in a bed, maybe listening to somebody on a radio. They'd change. They'd say, Tad, you take my place. Yeah, but when we're healthy, we're young. Sometimes we think we can negotiate, but there's a scripture that says, fail not to assemble thyself as the manner of some is. And the Lord knew 2023 was coming. He's not caught off guard. Hallelujah. So it's not like this is different. It's always been in every season. Psalms 92, pardon me, verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Rooted. Sometimes we don't want to be moved because we're just stubborn. We just want to be right because we said we're right. But the scripture says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. There is a difference where we get our endorsements from. All money spins, it may start green, it may be plastic, but not all money is good. There are some things attached to some monies that can cause us some pain and agony. But this scripture tells us, because we want to be prosperous, we want to be successful, and we can do this. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of God. And 14 says, they shall still bear fruit even when they're old. So think what they're doing when they're in that productive season, when they're strong, when they've got that vigor, when they got that stamina, that strength. Remember yesterday how I got in that wagon? But I got in. I got in. It wasn't pretty, but I got in. And I rode with the rest of them. I got in. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, they shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright and that he is my rock. God is our rock. We've got to be so planted that we recognize that in this season that it's necessary for us to be grounded in the Word of God because it's bigger than us. But what we have to share cannot be tainted. The Word of God has got to be true. It's got to be pure. And we've got to know that we know. And we all we need to do is to read the Scriptures. Be familiar with some of the Scriptures. And know how to get help from somebody to assist us when we don't have the answer. The disciples had Jesus. We've got our apostles and our teachers, our pastors, that if we run up against something, if we have given ourselves to study, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will cause us to have revelation. But we've got to know this so that when we go into the world to remind those people, people in our families who are maybe a backslidden or some maybe who've never even given their heart to the Lord, we've got to have such a testimony. We've got to be so grafted into the Word of God that we can present a case so that someone can say, you know, this is your decision, but I've shared Jesus with you. Amen. Back to church Sunday, grounded, rooted in faith. Praise God. Amen. So this is who we are. We have to be planted. It doesn't matter what the world says. Amen. It matters what God says. Okay, the third verse I want to list. I did John 2, 3. I did those, right? 1, 2, and 3. Let's now go to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. We'll look at verse 7 and 8 first. 17th chapter. Help me, Lord. Our beginnings. New beginnings matter. We talked about that yesterday. We talked about doors. This is a season that we can close some doors that we might not have should have let open. And this is a time that we can open some doors so that we can help our family members and our family and our children or our grandchildren or our brothers and sisters to come to know the Lord. Amen? And so verse 7 says, this is Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I'm going to keep going back to the foundation. In the beginning, God. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Not only can he trust, but he says, blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8, for that blessed man, say blessed man, that blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Praise the Lord. That tree, when it's planted by the waters, the scripture says, which spreads out its roots by the river. So we've got to be so planted in the faith of God. We've got to be so rooted in what we believe that there's enough evidence to convict us that we are like the disciples. We've been with Jesus. We've been in the Word of God. We've been in prayer. We've got to be so deeply rooted that we believe the Word of God so that others can believe, so that they can be persuaded. The scripture says, which says, for he shall be like a tree by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the rivers, and will not fear when heat comes. We're not going to be fearful when seasons change, and it's not always like we want it to be. We're not going to be afraid when we have to go through some trials. We're not going to give up because it didn't go down like we wanted it to. We're not going to be that person that says, well, I thought God would have. Kind of like what Mary and Martha said, Jesus, had you been here, my brother, he would not have died. But they were still in relationship with Jesus. But the leaf will be green when the heat comes, when the rubber meets the road. Talk is cheap until you got some skin in the game. It's easy to talk about healings when you're healthy. It's easy to talk about running a race when you're 17 years old. It's easy to flex those, they call them guns. That's what the guys call them. It's easy to flex those guns when you got them. But you know what? Sometimes we go through seasons where life shifts. It's easy to talk about how your children should be when your children are little and you can take them where you want them to go and they don't have a mind of their own. But there comes a time when our kids grow up. There's a process. But we still have to be, everything we do, it must be done in love. I got a big voice, but this is not an angry voice, it's just a big voice. I have such love for the people of God. I care, but I'm not going to back down. I've got some skin in the game. I've got some granddaughters that need Jesus. I got some things that need to shift. I got some things in my own life that needs to be transformed. The enemy wants to bring up our past, but I know the Word of God. Get thee. It's as far as the east is from the west. We can't walk around like we've been saved and sanctified all of our lives. We got to let some people know there's some scars here, but let me tell you how I got over. We got to tell so people can come and can understand. We don't need to be so hard on people that's on drugs. It's just something that sometimes it's something in their bodies that caused them to respond differently than some of us or you that's been on drugs and you walked away. Put some skin in the game. Act like it's your kids about to go over to the brink of hell. Put some skin in the game. Act like it's your body that's going to go and you've got to hear a doctor's report. See if you can dig up some scriptures on healing. Whose counsel are you going to sit? We better sit with some people that believe the word of God. But it says, but will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves shall be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought. What do you do when the economy shifts? You going to blame it on one party or the other? Your source is, I have faith in God. Young man was saying right now, when he was a kid, he was jumping up to see what he was going to get. Now he understands the principles of seeing what he can give. So when the drought comes, he's like, in Goshen. That's where he is. I reside in Goshen. But you got to do your dues first. It says, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding its fruit. Praise the Lord. Root it back to church Sunday. 1 Corinthians, if you don't mind, chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. One of the things we have to be careful as the body of Christ, we've got to be so loving that people see Jesus. Even Jesus was loving to people. And what that means, that doesn't mean that we fellowship with people that are in sin. That's not what it's saying. But we go there with a mission. So the enemy doesn't trick us because we're on some territory that we're not prepared to be. We've got to be equipped. It don't mean you turn your back on your family. But it means that when we go, we know our assignment. That we see it like an open door. We're in this family to make a difference so that other family members can come to know Jesus. We're working in a place instead of crying and whining about saying, I'm the only Christian on my job. I'm the only Christian on my job. And so it's a hard place. Jesus wants you to be there. He sends us into those places. But let's look at verse 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. We're almost done. Ready? Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be rooted. Be brave. Don't be for sale. Don't be for sale. Hear God. Stand for what God wants us to stand. He says, be brave and be strong. 14. But let all that you do be done with love. And exhibiting all that strength with a big voice, let Jesus be seen on the inside of us. Let there be compassion. Jesus didn't compromise, but he was moved with compassion. He would heal those that weren't saved. He would reach out. He didn't just say, you're not in my denomination, so you're just going to have to wrestle with who you go. Don't you have a pastor? No, what he did, when it was their season, when he heard and they knew it was their time to be healed, he reached out and he healed them. But then again, he would say, like he told the man, he told the woman, he says, go sin no more that something worse don't happen. But we have to do it in love. Watch, be prayerful, stand fast in the faith. We don't want to be so religious. We can't be that person. We don't want to be like that. But yeah, we can't compromise because somewhere there's a fine line that sometimes we're so anxious to have the world come in that somewhere along the line, and there's a scripture that says this, it says something to the effect that bad manners will corrupt. bad something, bad company corrupt good manners or something to that effect. My thought was, why can't we be the ones with the good manners causing the ones that are in sin? Why aren't we the ones that's making that's causing things to shift? I believe it's because we go into those places not with the right assignment. We have to go in there. Jesus had an assignment when he saw Zacchaeus. He said, salvation comes to your house today. He had an assignment. That's why he was there. And that's just one example. But he went there for a purpose. And this is just a side note. I never was big on drinking, but I did like to dance. And sometimes when you dance, they serve alcohol. I'm just trying to tell you, in case some of you have never been there. At least back when I did. I don't know what they're doing today. But I say that to say this. People didn't know I wasn't drinking alcohol because I was drinking was Cokes and things like that. But I was just, that's that environment where the dance was, and I just wanted to dance. I promise you, I can't think of a time I really was sharing the gospel in there. But see, we can be on the enemy's turf, where we can be vulnerable, where the enemy can set us up. And we think we're all super saints and we're so strong. I remember one of my brothers, matter of fact, he was with me in Kokomo, and he's no longer alive now. But my brother, he gave his heart to the Lord. And he had some problems, some serious problems, and he was facing some situations that was life-threatening, but he was allowed to come and stay with me. And I was his big sister, and you know he was a little taller than I am. Well, everybody's a little taller than I am. But I told that person who was in charge, I said, he can come and stay with me. I said, I'll make sure that he does such and such and such and such. He can come and stay with me, because I was his big sister. That day, everybody was, they were not receiving much favor. But that day, the favor of God, they let my brother come home with me in Kokomo. He had to leave Anderson. He had to come to Kokomo with me. But while he was in Kokomo, he gave his heart to the Lord. And you know what? He gave his heart to the Lord. He was exposed to the prophetic, and so was I. There was a prophetic church there that I attended at that time. And my brother, and I was working at the plant in Kokomo. My brother could cook some pork chops. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I know he could cook some pork chops and make some mashed potatoes and green beans or peas. Boy, it'd be worth coming home just to eat that food he'd be cooking. I'm telling you, he could cook and throw some gravy around it. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, he could cook. But you know what? We would come back home to Anderson, and he had some friends that he loved. And he was so proud of his relationship with the Lord, and he would always go try to explain to them about Jesus and what had happened to his life. But he wasn't rooted enough. He wasn't grounded and rooted enough to stand that. And so, you know, he ended up in a backslidden state. But I'm not going to say what God knew his heart. I'm not going to say whatever happened. But I'm just trying to tell you that you got to have some skin in the game. You got to want to see people's lives converted. You've got to want to see it. You know, and sometimes we're so perfect. People, like I say, they don't see our scars. All they hear us doing it. They hear us talking the scriptures, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to tell you. When you go into those places, make sure you heard God. Make sure you understand your assignment. You go in it, you do it, and you get out if the Lord sends you. And if your part is to go, then you're covered by the blood. But if you're going because everybody says you're supposed to go, you better know where you're stepping, because the enemy can only attack you where he knows you're weak. He couldn't attack me with drugs because that wasn't my thing. And I never tell people what was my thing. That's too much information. Okay? Some things you just don't have to know. But I tell you what, I got delivered. And the Lord allowed me to stand. Last scripture, this is it. Go to Mark's 16th chapter. Because this is back to church Sunday, I wanted to do this one. Let me make sure I got it right. Mark or Matthew. We're almost there. This is it. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Let's go to 16th chapter. Verse 16. I'm going to start with chapter 16. Thank you. It says, now when the Sabbath was passed, door open and close that Friday, and that was that Sunday. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him because Jesus had been crucified. He'd been placed in the tomb. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And those women said amongst themselves, "Oh my God, who's going to roll the stone away from the door of the tomb?" It's about the door again. "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. There was an open door, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But that young man said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. We, the body of Christ, we've got to seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." They said to them, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." The man said, "See the place where they laid him." But he says, remember this Sunday, back to church Sunday. "But go tell his disciples and Peter." There are some Peters in our families and in our lives. There are some Peters who denied Jesus, who denied accepting the Lord. Remember when Peter denied knowing Jesus three times, twice, and then the rooster crowed three times, and it was brought to his remembrance, and Peter left out. He was in a place where he felt like he was backslidden, and he didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel like he was a real disciple or whatever. But now you've got a word that says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." This is back to church Sunday. We want some Peters to come back to church. Amen. We want some Peters to come out of some dark places. We want some people named Peters or whatever who didn't realize that they had an option, that Jesus would still embrace them. But come back to church. Give Jesus a try again. There's no fault in him. Maybe you didn't understand. We can get some help now. We know more about the scriptures now. We've been in fear with the Holy Ghost. Give Jesus a chance. We want to go back and we want to get some Peters to come back to church. We're the disciples. We're already there, but we need to go get some Peters. We've written some people off. He says, "But go tell his disciples and Peter." This is come back to church Sunday. "That he's going before you in Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." Father, we thank you. We're sending out a clarion call to some Peters out there. Whether they're in our families, at our workplaces, in our communities, in our nation, in places, in high places, we're asking that those people would come to know Jesus. And Lord, even those who feel like they can worship by themselves, even though your word says otherwise, Lord, let them see your word so that they can align themselves with your word. Lord God, that they'll want to come back to church. And Father, no, there's no one perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. But you used them. Father, we thank you this day that this is our going back to church Sunday. We're celebrating. We're rooted in faith because we trust in God. We have faith in God, not in man. Our roots go down deep in your word. Father, we thank you right now for what you're releasing. In the mighty name of Jesus. The word I want to release over the two of you and this leadership of this house, I just want to release an encouraging word. I want to release an encouraging word that this is a season if you're being rooted, that you've been rooted. But it's like I see the roots have gone down deeper, and it's like there's a, I don't know about plants and things underneath, but it's like those roots have grown. They're mature roots. They can't just be yanked up by a novice. These roots, they have stood. These are thick. They've been tried. And I just really sense the Lord is saying to you and to this minister, Apostle and Apostle Janet, and to this congregation, these believers here, that the Lord is saying that He says that where you've been was just preliminary. But the Lord says, my plans and my purposes for you are greater. And the Lord says, I'm building, he says, but I'm rebuilding, says the Lord. And I hear the Lord says that even as I rebuild, he says, there'll be some shifting. He says, but there's going to be some promotions even in the realm of my spirit, says the Lord. And I hear the Lord says, so begin to make way for the enlargement of your tent. And it's not necessarily about the size of the building, but I really believe it's about your expectation, the Lord says, to see what I'm doing even in this season. I hear the Lord saying that even for those of you that are here, I hear the Lord saying, begin to prepare, the Lord says, even for the enlargement. And the Lord says that this is a season even to fall in love with this word as never before. I just really sense that the Lord is saying that this is a season, says, I'm going to cause there to be a healing, says the Lord. And I know that you do a ministry on the outside as far as healing and those types. But I just really sense God is going to allow there to be some physical healings that's going to take place in this building. There's an expectancy that God is releasing even in this season. Now, hear the Lord saying that even as the song service was going forward, even today, that one song that talked about live again, what I kept hearing was hear and live. As we hear, we can live again. And so, Father, we thank you right now, O God, for releasing your hearing in this congregation, Lord, that our spirits will hear. And, Lord, that our spirit man will declare and decree that we shall live again. Amen.